Hey, it's Hardy. If you bet on Michigan to win the college football championship, prop swappers want to buy your bet. They were 100-1 earlier this year, and now they're just two wins away from winning it all. Prop Swap has thousands of buyers waiting to buy your sports bets, and they're paying big money. Maybe you've got a ticket on a local team like New England, another team who was at 100-1 at one point this season. All these teams are selling for huge money on Prop Swap right now. So cash in right now. Visit PropSwap.com and download the free Prop Swap app.
B-Pod Studios.
Tub. The plan that the Patriots used may have influenced the Bills to mimic it and cause them to not take full advantage of the talents of Josh Allen until maybe it was too late. That's something Chris Sims and I spent some time talking about on PFT Live Tuesday morning, the idea that they didn't unleash Josh Allen until really those final two drives that petered out in the red zone. If they had let Allen throw the ball in the first half the way he was in the second half, they may have had more than 10 points on the board by the time it was all said and done. And it really makes me wonder whether or not Belichick set the tone and Sean McDermott tried to answer it just assuming, hey, this is the way Bill's doing it. This is the way I should do it, too.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, saying that the talents and the threat of Josh Allen were not used enough by the Buffalo Bills. That was their one chance to win, and they didn't take advantage of, again, the talents and the threat of Josh Allen. Greg Bedard, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. The vast array of talents of Josh Allen. They should have unleashed that on the Patriots. That was the problem in the game. Now, look, do I think maybe they should have thrown a little bit more? Yeah, probably. I mean, look, you have the one guy on the field who is designed to play in those elements. Josh Allen, big hands, long arms, big arm, can run the ball, could do everything. Should they have done a little bit more with Josh Allen? Yeah, probably, but I didn't like how they used him anyways. And then you also have to factor in Josh Allen himself making countless mental mistakes, which he did in this game, which he cost this team huge. Probably the biggest was him taking a sack, getting sacked by his own guy, which he caused because he left the pocket, he didn't need to, on second and goal. And that led to the missed field goal, which basically set up the end of the game. But should the Bills have used Josh Allen a little bit more wisely? Yes, but here's one interesting thing, and I was talking to somebody about this, about the game, who was there. Josh McDaniels is on the sideline, okay? He's there, he's calling plays, he knows what's going on. And I heard that the wind on the sideline kept changing. It wasn't the same all the time. It wasn't straight down the field. Sometimes it was at the Patriots sideline. It changed moment by moment. Brian Daboll, the Bills offensive coordinator, is up in the box. And was that an advantage for the Patriots in that McDaniels could judge the game a little bit better than Daboll could?
Oh, I think it always is. This is an aside, but
definitely.
This is a core thing of mine. I think the coaches that are up in the booth, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Good God, put your fat ass on the sideline and talk to your players and get a sense of the game. Oh, God, I can't stand it. But that's an aside. Is Josh Allen the reason the Bills lost? Was he more of a reason why they lost or more of a reason why they should have won?
You were all
hot and bothered about Josh Allen when you emailed us this morning. So I'm trying to elicit this from you now that we're doing the show.
Am I wrong for
because
you?
Because the email doesn't matter. Sorry, Murray.
Am I wrong, Greg, for saying he was kind of a jittery idiot at points?
Yes,
in that
he was.
Game?
Yes, he was. But that's a different question than what I posed. I was just countering your slobbering take over Josh Allen.
So
yesterday.
Counter it. Let's go. The show's going. Let's go. Counter it.
Why didn't you just ask me?
That's what I did. That's what I'm doing. What do you think I'm doing here?
He's facilitating.
I thought that Josh Allen was a problem. I think he is one of the core reasons why Belichick played the game that he did. Three pass attempts, he thought Josh Allen and the Bills would vomit on each other enough times that they wouldn't have to throw the ball, that they didn't need to even score a touchdown in this game to win. And Belichick was right again.
Well, that's probably true. I think Bill underestimates him too. I think Bill played that a little bit too tight. Meaning, in other words, if they had thrown a little bit more, and done a little bit more to put points on the board. You know, it's not coming down to throws into the end zone and giving Josh Allen a chance. So I don't totally disagree that I think Bill underestimates Josh Allen. I think he does underestimate Josh Allen to a fault, as I do. I think you do too, and Murray for that matter. But I thought we were going to have a thing here.
Hold on, Felger, answer me this. Does Brett Favre lose that game?
Probably. Maybe.
No.
I don't know. But
No. A great quarterback, a very good quarterback, does not lose that game where the other team at home attempts three passes.
So you don't think Josh Allen is a very good quarterback?
No, I think I heard your commentary yesterday, and I said, well, you know, for fun, I will grade Josh Allen just like I do anybody else.
Fun.
I had 5+ plays, and that included some of the incompletions, and I had 11- plays for him in that game. And to me, I considering the elements, I thought that was good. He kept the team in the game. Lesser quarterbacks would have gotten blown out. But I thought he was good. I think you overrated him in this game. But I think that what you think Josh Allen is, that level of quarterback, wins that game without any problem. Brett Favre in his prime does not lose that game.
Brett Favre in his second year, third year?
Fourth?
Probably loses that game. In his third
or fourth year.
Fourth
year in Green Bay? No.
Let me circle back to Brett Favre in a second. When you said he had 11 minus plays,
yep.
Was the final play one of the minus plays?
Correct.
See, I think that's ridiculous.
It's not.
So that's what I do push back against. Fourth and 15 into the win against one of the best pass defenses in the league.
Let's discuss that play, okay?
So if he doesn't complete fourth and 15 into the teeth of a win against one of the best defenses in the league on fourth and 15, it's a minus. I just think that's a ridiculous standard.
No. It wasn't that it was incomplete. It was he didn't give either of his guys a chance on that play, Mike. If you watch it from the end zone, so he's going into the wind. By this time in this game, he needs to know there's only one way I can throw this pass on this play, and that's a line drive into the end zone. The only route that really gives you that ability is Cole Beasley. He decided to throw it over the top. He decided to basically throw a ball out there that Stephon Diggs could go and get. On a clear weather day, fine decision. The problem was, and you could see this from the coach's film from behind, that ball goes up and it comes straight down. It gets blown down. And that's why Miles Bryant had a play at it. It was because of the win, and that's the quarterback.
So the fact that you're giving him a minus on that play tells me you're holding him to a ridiculous standard.
No, give your guy a chance. If he gives his guy, he didn't give his guy a chance. He didn't.
It's an unfair standard.
It didn't. He had to. Stephon Diggs had to stop.
You got a Josh Allen thing.
No,
you have the Josh Allen thing.
The game is on the line, and you don't give one of your receivers a chance to catch the ball. That's called quarterbacking.
I have a fairness thing. I have a justice thing. You have a Josh Allen thing.
Oh yeah, King Solomon over here.
Yes, that is right. I can't help but just tell it like it is. That's my problem.
Scales of justice.
Who touched the ball, Felger?
This is my problem.
Who touched the ball in that
play?
Your
problem is you're on Twitter with the Bills fans, which is not my problem.
Who had a better chance to catch the final pass?
Don't wrap me up into
Beasley,
your issue.
Stephon Diggs
with Bills
or Miles
fans.
Bryant?
Get off Twitter is what I would say to you, big fella.
Which one?
Get off Twitter.
Who had the best chance to catch that final
fourth
pass?
Fourth and 15. Cole Beasley. Into a 30-mile-an-hour win.
Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, or Miles Bryant. Who had the best chance to actually catch that pass?
Josh Allen. Josh, if Miles Bryant hadn't peeled off there, that play was there. That ball's probably going to go into Diggs if you watched it. But I don't even think you're watching it because you're in this thing. You're in this thing with the Bills people.
Keep playing denial.
Don't wrap me into the Bills people. But you keep going back to this thing. And not that people would know it. It's really just a private beef between me and Bedard. But he keeps throwing at me. You hated Favre, Felger, for his decision-making, yet you love Josh Allen. Let me just discuss that for 1 second. Yes, I grew to hate Favre as a Packer fan. I didn't hate him his third year in the league. But before I knew exactly what he was going to be, I grew to hate him when he made it all about him and didn't win. That's when I grew to hate him. But as a young player with that raw ability, I didn't hate him at all. And oh, by the way, I hated him as a fan of the team. Did I ever say that he sucked? He's a Hall of Famer.
I never said
Josh Allen sucked. And one of the probably top 20 quarterbacks of all time. I don't know where you put Favre, top 10, top 20 of all time. He's somewhere in there. And I do hate him. but he's a Hall of Famer, legit first ballot Hall of Famer. So if that's what Josh Allen is, then that's what Josh Allen is.
Here's another contradiction that Felger gives out. This is the guy who
this
all off-season...
This took 10 minutes for you to get here. Go!
This is the same guy who all off-season said, give me the cerebral quarterback. Give me the spaghetti arm. As long as he makes good decisions, give me the smart guy for the Patriots. I don't care about talent. Josh Allen has the talent. He's a mental midget when it comes to playing quarterback.
It is
he's
true.
The exact opposite that you what it, you wanted for the Patriots.
It's true. I only respond to the anti Josh Allen stuff that you come in here every day with because you're beefing with the Bills people on Twitter.
It's factual. Just like I said, Mac Jones did not play well last week. I grade Mac Jones the same way. Same way I graded Tom Brady.
Yeah, is Josh Allen a top five quarterback in the NFL?
I'd have to go through the list. He's close.
Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Russell Wilson. Okay, who's the next guy?
Can I look at a list?
Why do you need to look at a list?
Kyler Murray's
Dak
there.
Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray.
Dak Prescott.
Lamar Jackson.
No.
I mean, you tell me. After Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, and I'll put Russ Wilson in there. I'll forgive him the way he looks right now. After those four guys, who's next?
I would take Herbert over him.
I'd lean Prescott.
I'd take Prescott over him.
Okay, Allen's done a lot more than Prescott, and is I know this sounds silly, but more consistent.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, off of these past 2 years.
He just is?
I mean, he lost to Houston at home in the playoffs.
Are we going to go through all the games Dallas has lost? Are we going to talk about all the Dallas losses?
Well, it's Dallas. They didn't have the roster. Bills have the roster.
Oh, come on. Impossible standard. You carry your tweet beef with the Bills fans on Twitter and let us do our show. Let us do our show.
Has nothing to do with it.
Because you have a thing in your head for Josh Allen.
And you have a thing about quarterback pushback.
Right. I have a thing about truth. That's my problem.
I like how the winds keep going up in this conversation. They were 25 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour. Gale force winds that he's throwing into on that last play.
Yeah, no, you guys sound like my father talking about himself growing up. He had to walk to school both ways uphill.
Talk football with Bedard, 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Kreit explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, that said, their quarterback was fine.
Yeah, Zoe, like, I don't think that's why they lost the game.
Oh, no, their quarterback was fine.
Like, Allen threw well.
I thought he played well. Like, and I think, like, if you look at a couple things going a little bit differently, that ball was in Knox's hands on 3rd and 14.
Yeah, catch it.
And that's a ball that I... How many quarterbacks in the NFL could make that throw in those conditions?
Oh, not a lot.
Not the one here. I mean, nope. there are probably two or three quarterbacks in the league that could make that throw in those conditions, and that was on Dawson Knox's hands. On 4th and 14, I'd love to dig into like what happened because that looked like a miscommunication to me. But I thought like when the money was on the line, like even the ball to Diggs. Like in those conditions, a back shoulder throw. I think if Diggs gets turned around a little bit faster, maybe he makes that catch. So I think it's a little harsh to look at Josh Allen and say anything but, like, he did what he needed to do to win that game.
Yeah, interesting commentary from Bert Breer earlier on with Zolak and Bertrand. Says he thought Allen played well. Unfair to say he did anything other than put him in a position to win that game. That's interesting. Greg Bedard, I think, would disagree. Greg Bedard, by the way, is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. I just wanted to get that out of the way, big fella. Now we can move on to everything else or whatever the people want to talk about. So let's do it. Max and Cohasset, lead us off. What do you got, Max?
Hey, guys. Listen, I was at the game on Monday night, and I sat right behind the Patriots sideline. And looking at Hoyer and Mac Jones throwing during the game, Hoyer had way more zip on his throws. And honestly, if Bill didn't trust Mac to throw at all, he should have put Hoyer in. And I just don't think – I think Bill got lucky only throwing the ball three times and winning the game. If he didn't trust Mack, he should have, you know, put Hoyer in or even dressed him or something.
Okay. I mean, I don't agree with that second part. But the first part, I think he should have thrown a little bit more myself. What did you make of the three attempts?
I had no problem with the way they played the game. I mean, if N'Keal Harry doesn't muff that punt, which was Bill's lone bad coaching decision in this game, I just did not understand that at all.
I mean, Bill was definitely making a point. You know, now look, I'm not condoning putting the ball up, you know, 30 times when your quarterback is Mac Jones, because I don't think the kid can handle the weather. And when I say the weather, the wind. I don't think he has the arm to throw in that wind. So overall, like, I put the game on McDermott. You know, I put the game on McDermott. I think Bill went into the game knowing what it was going to be, and McDermott did not.
Greg, do you think that the three attempts were partly a function of Mac Jones's arm strength or lack thereof?
I don't think it was a reflection on Mac. I think they would have adjusted the game plan as they needed to as the game went on. I think they just went in and they said, look, we're going to own the game up front. The Bills and Josh Allen are a turnover fest on the best weather days. They were terrible in bad weather at home against the Colts. The Colts ran all over them. We're going to go with that approach until it's broke. And once the Bills refused to match the Patriots personnel, when the Patriots went to tank personnel, two running backs, a fullback, one wide receiver, two tight ends, including one being an offensive lineman, and you're matching with base, you're out leveraged. You're out weighted. You're out everything.
Even nickel in a couple of cases,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was a complete mismatch. And I thought that speaks to also Belichick won basically the game with his roster, even before the game started, that he could go in multiple different directions in that game, and the Bills couldn't. They're still out there with freaking finesse defensive ends like Jerry Hughes and a rookie and Gregory Rousseau. I mean, are you kidding me? And those small linebackers, the Patriots knew they had the advantage. The Bills weren't going to answer. And so they were just going to play tight and don't make a mistake.
Tommy and Lynn, go.
What's up, boys? All right, Felger, Maz, and Murray, and Big Boy. This is what I got to say. First off, the Pats had a good run game. They shoved it down the Bills' throats. And also, Sean McDermott is a squid. He's a squid, Felger. He's not a good coach.
A good thing about that is Sean McDermott a squid.
I would say that's a fair assessment by Tommy. He's something along those lines. I think we even talked about it last week. For some reason, he loses his mind against the Patriots, and it filters down to his team. And it was on full display on Monday night. It was shameful. What he did after the game was shameful. It was awful.
Al in Florida. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, I'm calling early in the season. You guys were complaining about Belichick, you know, whether he still had it or not. If you look at last year, it was an outlier year. If you remember when Brady, during Deflategate, was out, their record was 3-1 without Brady. When Castle was quarterback, they were 11-5.
Hey, Al, I got all that. So what's your point today?
Well, my point is today, I think you guys underestimated Belichick's ability to turn this team around with free agents that he signed with the draft picks in his prior record of being a great coach over the years.
Al,
it's an excellent point. It's an excellent call. I invite you to listen at 4 o'clock. We have a whole hour devoted to that very thing. Belichick being back after a lot of people had written him off. And I think that is a valid thing to bring up. He's turned it around. I think Belichick's back in the court of public opinion, Greg. I don't know. It's not a football thought. That's more of a talk show thought. But do you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, we talked about it all off season and the beginning of this season when they started 2-4. I mean, you know, last season happened. They were 7-9. They were out of the playoffs after losing at Houston to a terrible Houston team very early in the season. And last year was not good. Now, the whole question this year was, okay, he spent a bunch of money. You know, did he spend it wisely, and would it come together in time to be a good team this season? And it turns out they were.
And again, 4 o'clock, caller. We'll give you a whole hour on that. Tony and Stoneham, go.
Hey, I got to tell you something, guys. You're just not seeing the picture here. You keep knocking Jones that he can't throw the ball. He's got a weak arm and everything. They won that game on defense and they won that game on running the ball because there's no reason to throw the ball. They didn't need to. They moved the ball down the field at will, running the ball, and the weather conditions dictated that.
They scored 14 points.
That's right. They scored 14 points in that weather, yes. And I don't care if you had Tom Brady out there. He probably wouldn't have scored any more points.
I don't agree with that. You would have been better with Tom Brady. I'm sorry. If that is critical, then forgive me. You would have been better in that game with Tom Brady. You would have thrown more than three times with Tom Brady, and your team would have been better off by doing that. Sorry. Sorry, that's just the way I feel.
Well, they definitely would have thrown more if Brady were out there, and I'm sorry. Look,
I mean, why are we spinning this into that they had some sort of great offensive night? They scored 14 effing points.
Yeah, I just think, though, that under the circumstances, that's probably average. It's not bad. You follow me?
Yeah.
I just don't think anybody was scoring that night, Mike. That's my opinion on that game, and this is why I think it was Belichick.
I think they would have scored more if they put it up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. But again, I don't think it's like the equivalent of 14 points in a normal week. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
So I just think that the circumstances said that it was going to be that kind of game. It was going to be a 14-10, 13-12, whatever it was, that kind of game.
Three passes is a little something different.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not disputing that part.
Three passes is a little something different. Three passes is just making sure you know exactly what I'm doing here. And it makes it a headline, and it makes it some sort of record, and it makes it something you'll never forget, which is just what the coach wanted. Did it put him in the absolute best position to succeed? I don't think it did. Brody in Maine. Go ahead, Brody.
Yeah, Felger, you just asked Bedard, you know, is Josh Allen a top five quarterback? Give me your list. It's like, you look at his stats, man. It's like, last year with no crowds was the only year in his four-year career that he's been top five in passer rating. He slipped back to 12th this year. And let me ask you this. If I told you that there was a quarterback that, when they faced the blitz, went from the 12th-ranked passer on passer rating down to the 23rd just because of a blitz, and they couldn't diagnose it well enough, would you tell me that that's a top-five guy? I mean, I would take Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Jimmy G, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and Patrick Mahomes ahead of Josh Allen. Yes, Jimmy G, he's gotten to a Super Bowl. Has Josh Allen gotten there?
AFC Championship game.
Got you there, Maz.
One game, the AFC Championship game.
It's also his fourth year.
Jesus. Like,
so, and listen.
Rex Grossman went to a Super Bowl.
I'm no huge Josh Allen defender, but when the caller says, well, last year was the only year, he's only been in the league 4 years.
Brady was on the way to his third Super Bowl and his fourth full season.
What are you talking about? But Murray, really, let's compare anyone to Brady.
But just with Josh Allen, last year is ultimately the anomaly. He has a point. He was 5-0 in December last year. The rest of his career in December, 3-7.
Like, okay, but it's his fourth year.
And he's just one of these guys that wasn't ready early on.
It's not like he's been around for 10 years. Like, you know, Matthew Stafford is how many winning seasons? That one we can hold against him. And look, I'm not sitting here telling you I love Josh Allen. I think he's good. I think I'm somewhere in between these two jackhammers.
No, I think he's fifth or sixth. He's in that, Maz, you can appreciate this. He's in the second tier. The first tier.
Tier two.
Yeah, the first tier is Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, and Russell Wilson. And then he's in that next grouping with Dak Prescott. And, you know, who else do you want in there? I don't put Herbert there yet. I don't. He's got the physical ability to be there for sure. He hasn't won at a level for me to want to put him there. So, like, he's in that next tier of guys, which I think is just fair. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people around here. It's like, you know, everybody else sucks. Everybody else, like, but Greg's not falling into that. He's just, unfortunately, on Twitter with Buffalo fans. So that's why he's in that thing.
That.
You people just, and Murray falls into this, everybody sucks. I mean, if you think Josh Allen sucks, then you think everybody sucks, pretty much.
I don't think he sucks.
I'm not looking at you.
I think he's fine. I just don't trust him. I think he's actually okay. I just don't trust him with the money on the table, like in that situation at the end of that game on Monday night.
I think most guys in the NBA suck.
Mike, the whole game was within one score. What do you think throwing three times says about Josh Allen? What Bill thinks of Josh Allen?
I think Bill threw it three times because he wanted something to say something about Bill Belichick, not about Josh Allen. But I do think Bill doesn't think much of Josh Allen. I agree with you on that. I think Bill
kind
of
knows things.
I think Bill underestimates Josh Allen. I think he estimated him last year as well when Allen came in here and put up 38 points. Yeah. So I think Bill underestimates a lot of players. Bill Belichick underestimated Tom Brady. So it's really not an exclusive list to say that Bill Belichick underestimates Josh Allen. He underestimates most players. Okay, other than Lawrence Taylor and freaking Carl Banks. He underestimates most of them. So Josh Allen's just on that list. Here's an update with Big Jim Murray, and then we're back with three up, three down.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a win. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we've gone over the film, given out the grades. Now it's time for the three stars, three studs, three duds, three up, three down with Bedard and Maz. He weighs in from his couch. It is brought to you by and presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Who's your number one star, Greg, for Monday night in Buffalo?
Devon Godchow. He had perhaps, it's up there with the Vince Wilfork Baltimore playoff game as far as impactful game from a nose tackle in a game. I mean, you rarely see that, especially in this scheme. I thought this might happen. Mitch Morse is a terrible center.
I was going to ask, who's that center for
Mitch
Buffalo?
Morse? He's awful. He got tossed all over the place, whether it was Godchow or Carl Davis. I had him for 8 impactful plays, including 4 solo stuffed runs, which is unusual. He played great. He was the key in the middle.
I went Ramondre Stevenson, believe it or not. And, I'd love to combine the running backs together, but I think when Harris went down, that kid had to carry the load. I mean, that's 24 carries, and he didn't bust any of them, but he was hard to tackle. He ran hard. He held on to the football. 24 carries for a Patriots back is a lot. That's a lot.
Number two.
Ramondre Stevenson. 10-plus plays. He was awesome in this game. I thought he looked a little bit like John Riggins there in the second half, a little diesel action, just bouncing off people, always falling forward. I thought he did a great job in this game.
Yeah, Maz, you don't know football. My number two, Godchow. I thought, again, he was noticeable. He was all over the place on that defensive line. I thought he was really good.
Who's your third star there, big boy?
Kyle Van Noy. I thought he was a big key to keeping Josh Allen from rotating to his right as opposed to some other people that we will get to in the down list.
Yes.
But I thought I had him for 7-plus plays, no negative plays. I thought Kyle Van Noy was awesome in this game.
I had two people. One of whom was Van Noy. The other was David Andrews. I thought the interior of the offensive line was excellent in this game. Excellent. Andrews, to me, played one of his better games of the year.
You're getting the big boy excited. All right, the three down list, Greg. Who's your number one dud?
N'Keal Harry. I mean, for the fumble. But also, I completely agree with your take on yesterday that his run blocking is completely overrated.
Thank you.
It's just he's big. That's it. It could be anybody. It's not N'Keal Harry specific. I still can't believe. Didn't we just talk about this like 2 weeks ago? How many times? You watch the Patriots on film. You know when the receiver is in a tight split. The chance of a crack block is about 90%. And do any of these morons look at N'Keal Harry and say, oh, he might block me? Maybe I should, like, back up. Maybe I should stand up. No, they just look at the ball and then get killed. It's more about the defense being idiotic than it is about N'Keal Harry being good.
It's just a layup cherry pick kind of block.
Yep.
It just it feels like most of the stuff, the thing that Lewis Riddick was, secreting bodily fluids over on that game, it's like, all he does is lean into the outside shoulder of the defensive end who's standing. He's got an angle on him. Like,
correct.
Who couldn't do that?
Yeah,
anyway,
piece of cake.
Sorry.
N'Keal Harry.
Thank you.
I mean, who else? They were dumber than you for putting you out there in the first place. You were dumb for validating why they shouldn't have put you out there, you Nimrod.
Number two dud.
Jacoby Myers. He was overwhelmed blocking, talking about, okay, he can't do it because he's smaller. So they had to put N'Keal Harry in because I had him for 2.5 run stuffs for Jacoby Myers. He was a borderline disaster in the run game. He did have one good run block, but really, over the course of time in his playing, he was a disaster.
Jake Bailey. I didn't think Bailey was particularly good in this game. He had that horrible punt early, and I know the weather was atrocious. And then the kickoff that I thought was way too short with the wind at his back.
That was Nick Folk.
It was?
I had that wrong. I never noticed it, but the pop-up kickoff that we had a problem with in the second half was Nick Folk.
Oh.
Or that's what that's what the emailer said. Let me just double check that on the play sheet. But I think Nick Folk. Nick Folk, I guess, had a couple kickoffs in this game. Do we know why?
Bailey must be injured then.
So Nick Folk was doing the kickoffs, period.
He still sucked, though.
He came off the injury report.
Bailey still sucked in this game.
Nick Folk was doing all the kickoffs, apparently.
I expect Bailey to be affected by the weather less than a typical punter would be affected by the weather, and I thought he was affected.
All right, anyway, I can't remember. Third down.
Matthew Judon.
Good one.
He did have a good hit on Josh Allen that I do think the size and physicalness of the Patriots linebackers, I think, influenced the Bills not to run as much, including Judon's hit from behind on Allen, which really kept him. I don't know if they caught this on TV, but he stayed down for a beat after Judon blasted him. His sack was lucky. That was when Josh Allen, it was a coverage sack. And he gave up the edge on a 21-yard run. And he also allowed Josh Allen to run his biggest scramble of the game. Plus, he had a penalty.
Hunter Henry, useless. You're a tight end and you can't play in a game where they're lining up and just steamrolling the other team, then you're not really a tight end. 15 snaps, I think he was out there, and I didn't notice him when he was.
Real quick, I know you had a thought on, I know I maybe spent too much time on this yesterday. I'm kind of obsessed by it. I don't know why. But the coin toss win direction thing, how do you think Buffalo handled that?
Awful. I mean, I said it. I started tweeting about it at the end of the second quarter when I didn't realize they changed the rule a few years ago where deferring means you're just deferring the choice to the second half.
That's right.
I didn't realize they had a choice. And then once I discovered that, you know, I thought, they're going to take the win.
So I checked with a referee friend of mine because I'm like, they give you the choice, do you have to start with kick receive? No, you can start with direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was different between college and pros, and then the pros changed it a couple of years ago.
I do think you're right about, they don't really worry about as much about win direction in the first half. You know, so the Bills deferred. That means the Patriots had three choices. Kick off, receive, or which end to defend.
Right.
They chose to receive. Most people around the Patriots think that the Bills should have taken the ball to start the game. But sometimes I was thinking about it, and I thought, did Bill pull like a Jedi mind trick on McDermott? Saying like, all right.
Maz mentioned this yesterday.
Yeah. Did Bill say basically like, all right, they deferred. Well, I'm going to take the ball. Because there's no way I'm going to get the ball and he's going to give me the wind. So I'm going to get the wind in the second quarter, which is when I want it also.
I'm going to get the choice of the wind in the second half because I know that bozo won't have the balls to kick off
that
to me
too.
To start the first half and the second half because that's going to look bad on him. He's going to take the ball.
Exactly.
Because he won't be able to help himself and I'll still get the wind choice in the second half.
He baited him.
Maybe.
I thought it was the decision in the second half was just terribly wrong by McDermott.
Agreed.
He should have known by that point. Look at the game. How is it playing out? What's the score? Is this going to cut? This is the only question you need to ask. Is the game going to come down to the fourth quarter? If the answer is yes, you get the wind in the fourth quarter. Because you didn't have the wind, Folk makes his field goal with the wind. You miss going into the wind, and that keeps you from needing a field goal to win the game. It was a huge error by McDermott.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Greg is going to reset his thought on what won the game for the Patriots the other night and your calls. Long commercial-free segment is next.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
What's the personal feeling when your team is able to execute in all three phases of the game in the way that they did last night, that people are, you know, referring to it as a masterpiece in coaching, et cetera. What's the personal feeling when your team executes like that?
We work hard all week to try to go out there and perform well, and it's obviously satisfying to win and beat a good team like Buffalo in Buffalo. But that's, you know, that's over with, and it's time to turn the page and move on to Indianapolis. So that's what we'll do. But it was, I thought the team played well, and not perfect. And again, against a good team. Again, you know, Buffalo certainly gives you some problems in all three phases of the game. They've got a great core of special team players, and they're one of the top teams defensively and one of the top teams offensively in almost every category. So, you know, it's good to see our team go out there and perform well and get a win on the road in the division.
Belichick on the win Monday night. Greg, what won it for the Patriots? You mentioned it earlier, but just reset it here. I know you have a thought on it.
Belichick's approach. That he saw the game, he saw the conditions, he knew how it was going to go, and he thought that the Bills would mess up enough times if his team executed well that would win him the game.
Well, you also said the Patriots roster construction.
Well, I think the Patriots roster construction was a big winner in this game. And look, there have been times where I've been critical of Bills, mostly with special teams, not really, big guys on a team, but. You know, that he's able, he has the type of roster that can basically play any game that he needs to. Like if he calls up that guy, Daniel Ukulele, and he gets a sack in the game, but yeah. he knew.
Didn't you love that when the guy got the sack and we all said,
who the hell is that?
Who the hell is that?
Yeah, they had just added him back to the roster. Yeah.
Back. I never knew he was on it.
Right.
Like,
I never they added him to the roster.
Like
right.
Bill probably looked at this and said, this is going to be a physical game. We're going to go with more linemen, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and he can play in a variety of different ways. He can match, you know, four down linemen and four linebackers. And I think also that Bill goes with bigger, slower, taller linebackers than, say, the Bills, who have Milano and that other small linebacker out there, that those guys can't hold up. They got run over time and time again in this. And the Patriots, I think the Patriots having Dante Hightower, Juwan Bentley, Matthew Judon, you know, keep naming the guys at linebacker, I think that affected the Bills in terms of calling designed runs for Josh Allen. I think that first sort of designed run that he had, that he slammed it up in the middle, Allen got popped and he went down hard to the turf and the ball actually came out at the very end. And I think they were like, we don't want to do that too much because they have big boys, whereas, you know, the Patriots can defend you any way they want.
Mike, just quickly, at the end of the day, you know what it is? And this is not revolutionary when we're talking about Bill. They adapt. Bill looks at the night and he says, it's going to be a crap show. And the Bills aren't capable of doing that for who knows whatever reason. It's unbelievable to me that you would go into a game like that and not really alter your game plan. Buffalo was light on defense, and I know a lot of that's personnel. I get it. But nickel? You're playing nickel in a game like that? What are you, stupid?
Back to your calls. Here's Jake in Boston, says he wants to defend Sean McDermott. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, not to defend him completely, but I think for the first time in the history of HBO's Hard Knocks, it had an impact on how a team approached a game strategically. So while N'Keal Harry fumbled, the Bills didn't play their two kick returners, Marquez Stevenson and Isaiah McKenzie, on Monday. McKenzie was the subject of this Hard Knocks clip a couple weeks ago in which Colts players, this coming from the Colts-Bills game, Colts players admitted that their coaches had focused on McKenzie's tendency to put the ball on the ground. So they kicked the ball to him, and then he fumbled. And the Bills were blown out, obviously, by the Colts in that game. And their sidelines, the Colts sidelines, were freaking out because their coaches told them what was coming. So when McDermott said that he wasn't stupid like Belichick, it was that he didn't put his damaged goods out there for Bill to kick it to, because I'm sure Bill has a kid doing advanced scouting on the Colts who's watching this show. So the problem for McDermott was...
Jake, quickly, just finish this up, please. Finish it up.
Well, the problem is that McDermott never told the player this is coming, but McDermott also didn't play his damaged goods. The damaged goods was the result of the HBO show, and I think, Bedard, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I do know the clip, but that there's no correlation to that. Like, look, did it happen? Yes. Did Bubba Ventrone basically say, like, I showed clips to the guys of this guy fumbling all the time, how he catches it off his pads, Yes, that happened. But the guy still fumbled in the game. I mean, maybe McDermott just lost confidence in him from that fumble. If it was Belichick, Belichick would have benched the guy if he fumbled like that in a big spot, and he would have been out there the next game. Yes, it was on Hard Knocks, but that doesn't mean that's why McDermott made the determination.
Yeah, to me, it was one of the few things McDermott did going into that game that I liked. That was the right thing to do. And as far as Jake from Boston, did you see the fumble? He tripped and fell, and the ball came out. He tripped over the 20-yard line or whatever the hell it was. He was clumsy. I'd bench his ass, too.
If I wanted to defend McDermott, and Josh Allen for that matter, and I'm saying, and not that I think they deserved, or McDermott certainly doesn't deserve total defense, but I do kind of get what he was driving at with that nonsense after the game. I mean, here. Is it McDermott's fault or Josh Allen's fault that Dawson Knox can't catch a cold?
No.
I mean, first drive, open, crossing over the middle, 3rd and 7, pass midfield, clangs right off his hands. If he catches that, that's a catch and run for about 15 yards probably. They're in business, 1st and 10, inside Patriots territory, wind at their back. Okay, he drops it. Who do I blame on the Matt Breida fumble? Is that Josh Allen or is that Sean McDermott? He fumbled at the Patriots' 29-yard line on 1st down. I think those were their first two series, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
Okay, so, like, how's that on the coach? How's that on the quarterback, certainly? The coach, maybe, should you put Breida in there? I mean, we can debate that.
That was the end of Breida for the night, pretty much, too.
Stephon Diggs is in the end zone. Allen puts it right on him. It hits him the inside of his forearm. He drops it. Like, how's that on Allen or McDermott?
That was a great throw.
And the Dingleberry kicker misses from 33. I know, tough kick into the wind, but geez. So it's like...
Maybe if your quarterback didn't take a sack before that.
Yeah, that was a bad play by Allen. I mean, I won't dispute that, but it's still from 33. It's like there were... When McDermott said, we were in position...
He's right.
He's not wrong.
Well, did you hear Bill? Bill, I think across the street said... No, it was Nick Folk after the game said... They determined they were not going to kick beyond the 10-yard line going into that end zone.
Okay, well, that's with Nick Folk, who doesn't have a big leg. I don't know what the Buffalo kicker is like.
He's good.
You know, he could have done better with that, 33. I'm sorry. So I think people are carrying on like you blew them out and like they had no chance and it was a you put this up on them. No. When McDermott says there were individual players that didn't take advantage of their opportunities, he's got a point. That's all. I still think he's a bozo. And I still think he sounds like he's obsessed with Bill Belichick and all of this. I don't dispute that, but he's not totally wrong by what he said. Let's pick up your phones right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
In business, setbacks change everything. So get Comcast Business Internet, now with Security Edge. It helps protect every device that's connected so you can be ready for what's next.
Restrictions apply. Security Edge requires Comcast Business Internet. Actual speeds vary.